It's because it's Communion Sunday, and I usually try to do a bit of a shorter sermon. Sometimes I don't get away with it, but I try to on Communion Sunday. I thought I'd give you a bit of an introduction into the Gospel of Matthew, because we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew from now until Easter. We're going to run right through the Gospel of Matthew. So we're going to let me give you a bit of a groundwork, a framework from which we can look at this wonderful gospel, the first gospel in the New Testament. So who here has seen Marvel's Infinity War? This is where I'm going to start. Okay, a few people have. So the funny thing about that movie, which came out last spring, with its sequel coming out in April, is that it took 18 movies to get there. And that's true. It literally took 18 movies to get there. Iron Man 1, 2, 3, Thor 1, 2, 3, Captain America 1, 2, 3, Incredible Hulk, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Avengers 1 and 2. That's 18 movies to get there, to get to this movie which came out last spring. And all of them add little details, little hints at a larger story that's gonna play out. Passing references, side conversations, plot devices, post-credit scenes, most of them point to that larger story about Infinity Stones and Thanos, and you don't need to know the whole story of Infinity War, but they sort of point in that direction, giving you a hint that something bigger is coming, something larger is going on behind all of these other stories. All of them lead to the final 5 minutes of Infinity War and presumably its sequel Endgame, which comes out in April. So that's a pretty good way to look at the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to call the author Matthew. It never says Matthew anywhere. We're just going to, for the next few months, call the author Matthew. Matthew sees Jesus as sort of the culmination of Jewish history. And throughout that history, throughout Jewish scripture and Jewish tradition, you'll find snippets and hints and pieces that point to the larger story of Christ, according to Matthew. So let's take, for example, the story of the Magi. And we all know this story from being children, you know, three wise ones show up, with one with gold, one with frankincense, one with myrrh. Though we don't know there's actually three, we just assume there are because that's how many gifts they brought. So much about this story actually references a prophet from the book of Numbers, Balaam. Jewish tradition describes Balaam as the father of Magi. He was from the east. He wasn't an Israelite. There's a story of an evil king wanting him to help out against the Israelites who are still seeking their homeland. Balaam doesn't help. Instead, he makes a prophecy about what greatness lies ahead of the people of Israel. And he says, a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And so just like Balaam, the Magi, they're a king, an evil king, tries to get them to turn against someone. They refuse and start worshiping Jesus. So there's a lot of ties together there. There's echoing of Jewish tradition. It's a common theme throughout Matthew's gospel, but especially here in the prologue. And the role of the prologue that we're reading is to introduce some of the major themes that will appear in the gospel. And so in using these Jewish traditions, in mirroring the stories, the author is highlighting a mythical truth at the heart of the Christ story, a truth that the author wants to get at again and again and again throughout the rest of the gospel. He's highlighting something that will resonate throughout the story of Jesus. And this is more clearly, I think, demonstrated in the story about the slaughter of the innocents. Now, this is a difficult story, and it's one that's often glossed over and only recently was sort of included in the common lectionary as something that should be read. Before that, it was avoided. Even now, we still, in the Revised Common Lectionary, we tuck it away in that time of year between Christmas and New Year when no one comes to church anyway, so we don't have to hear about it. So we tuck it in there so we don't have to hear about it. But it's the story of Herod wanting to kill Jesus, wanting to kill the foretold king of the Jews to protect his throne. Joseph takes his family and escapes to Egypt. They get away, but all the boys under the age of 2 are killed. And that's a tough one to know what to do with. I'm not sure I have an entirely satisfying answer. But I think the best way to look at this is through those mythical elements that it brings to bear. So one way of looking at Scripture is called the principle of first mention. And that's like when a story was first told, looking back in the Bible and saying, when was this story first told? And using that as a clue to draw out what the author is trying to get at. So here's the story of a king ordering the deaths of baby boys, and one child escapes that order. So whose story is that? Moses. That's right, Moses. Of course, it's Moses. Moses escaped the death of Pharaoh. Jesus escapes the death order of Herod. His family takes him down to Egypt, and then they return to Judea. That's the story of the Israelites who went down to Egypt with Jacob's sons and came back during the Exodus with Moses. The way Joseph waits to hear that it's safe for him and his family to return to Judea when Herod is dead, it mirrors the call to Moses to return to Egypt to lead the people to freedom, because those who sought his death were now gone as well. So between the Balaam reference and the Moses reference, we're getting strong allusions in this story to the Exodus story, the story of the people of Israel leaving Egypt. Matthew throws in a few quotes from Old Testament prophets as well, and I think he does this more than any of the other gospel writers combined. Matthew will throw in, bam, bam, here's what it said in the Old Testament, bam, bam, bam. They're all throughout the Gospel of Matthew. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel. That's Micah, writing to the communities outside of Jerusalem, offering them hope because Hezekiah gave cause to the Assyrians to come and kill countless people. He's promising them a new king, one that won't be as crappy as the old king. The one that they have, who won't be concerned about the power structures, but will know what it's like to be a nobody from nowhere, the way King David was. So I preached on that a couple weeks before Advent. There's a Hosea passage. Out of Egypt I called my son. Again, an allusion to the Exodus. There's the passage from Jeremiah used when the babies are killed. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. This passage itself is taken from the midst of a long oracle about God's vision of a recreated Israel. It's part of Jeremiah's promise to a nation facing death and exile in Babylon that they're not forgotten. So as down as this quote may sound, it's actually part of a larger prophecy, a larger oracle by Jeremiah saying, take heart, things are changing, freedom's coming. Now, I'm not sure if Matthew is saying these prophetic words were about Jesus, or if he's saying that they were also about Jesus, or if he's just throwing them in because their context says something about who Jesus is, and Matthew really wants to emphasize that. But all of these indicate, all of these point in one direction. So this is sort of the author's thesis statement, that Jesus has come to liberate. Now, what's fascinating about these stories, what's fascinating throughout this whole prologue, the whole infancy narratives of Jesus, the character of Jesus, who this whole gospel is about, is entirely passive. It's as if the whole universe, the whole history of the world, the stars, the dreams, all of them have been pushing and pulling and turning and churning around this child. All of it is coming together. All of it is pointing to Matthew's vision of a new Moses. All of it building for the culmination that is the liberation of Christ. Now, what that means, what that looks like, how the world responds, we get hints at. But we have a whole gospel to explore that, so I won't give it away now. So there's your introduction to the Gospel of Matthew. Here we have Matthew, who sees Christ as a great liberator figure in the tradition of Moses, formed in this Jewish community and this Jewish culture. So bear that in mind as we go through this Gospel of Matthew. Thanks be to God. Amen.